Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today on this very warm and somewhat humid day. It's great to have you here today. We're very pleased to have Ing back with us today, and we're looking forward to her sermon. And we're also excited to hear Kim today doing the music, so we appreciate Kim doing that. I know Mickey appreciates having some time off. Other announcements, let's see. There's no anthem today, so you won't see it in the bulletin. And whoever is doing the scripture reading, you can read from down here because we have the mic down here so Kim can do her work. Session is meeting this week on Wednesday. Reminder for the school supplies. Date on that is August 6th. And I think there's nothing else. Any other announcements from anybody? Yes, Sandy.
Yes, the sign-up sheet is still in the back to be a flower bed tour. We've gotten several people already volunteering. Thank you so much. There are two slots left. What it is, if you weren't here last week, we're going to divvy up all the flower beds by section. If anyone would like to take a section to take care of the weeding and maintenance for the rest of the year, please sign up there. Like I said, there's two sections left, I think, with the front sides. Any questions about that, feel free to ask. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy. With that, we will turn it over to Ing to get things started. I need to get back to my computer.
Thank you, Cliff, and thanks to all of you. It is always an honor and a blessing to be here with you. I was saying to some of you that for whatever reason, it feels like coming home. It does. So thank you for welcoming me to your church to worship God with you today. And if you would, could you turn in your bulletin or look up on the screen our call to worship from Psalm 85. Let us turn our hearts to hear from the Holy One.
Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will embrace.
Let us turn our hearts to gain insight from the Holy One. Let us turn our hearts to receive from the Holy One.
Righteousness will go before them, and they make a path for their steps.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, How Great is Our God.
Our God. All sound wonderful.
Amen. Let us come before God as we call to mind our need for grace and mercy. Read along with me the prayer of confession. Righteous God, you have created us in your image to reflect your holiness. You have affirmed the goodness within us. We struggle to be the people you call us to be. You have given us the guidance of the law and the wisdom of the prophets and the gift of your presence. Still, we struggle against the pull to go our own direction without your counsel. We fail to extend the grace and compassion you give us. We are grateful for your mercy as you hold us accountable for your justice. Guide us that we strive to live the fullness of life in you. Amen. And we know that each time we turn to God, we know because Scripture tells us that light will shine out the darkness. And though we may be afflicted in every way, we are not crushed. We're perplexed but not driven to despair. And when we turn to God for blessed grace, it is always granted. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Oh yeah, I forgot. You should give each other. I guess I just felt like all the love already. So, you know, I felt like it's all coming through. Right. Oh. Goodness. I think we're going to lift prayers aloud, but I know that I had prepared my sermon, obviously, before the events of last night, the attempt on candidate Donald Trump's life, and I know that that is something that we want to keep in our prayers. It's interesting, you know, I have a lot of pastor friends, and Pastor Tom Clifton was the first one to text me, and he said, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not preaching tomorrow. I guess you're going to have to start over on your sermon." And I said, "Well, I don't think I'm going to start over my sermon because I'm going to preach about love." And we were joking back and forth, and he said, "It's true." He said, "In times of such crisis and such confusion, we can turn to God always with God's love, and we will pray for all those impacted by this." I do. The young man who was killed and who made the assassination attempt, I knew him as a kindergartner at Lincoln Elementary, and we do have to wonder. We just have to pray for him and his family, and for Donald Trump and everybody in our nation. I know it's a very scary time, a tender time. And I am grateful to be here with people of love who are all working to do better. And I know that we all have concerns and joys that we'd like to lift up to, and God hears every prayer that we have, even those that are unspoken. But are there those that you would like to lift up in particular today? Anyone? Yes. Absolutely, yes. I didn't quit the Fair Oaks either. I've become the permanent pastor at Mount Nebo, where Rebecca DePoe was before, and where Kristen did her internship. But I still work at Fair Oaks, and we do not have COVID right now, but they are so vulnerable, our elderly, and we will definitely pray for them. Anyone else or anything else? Okay. If not, then let us come before God in prayer. O Creator, you are the God of all nations, of all political parties, and we are all your children. Black or white, red or blue, male or female or fluid, we who are Christians, those who are Jews or Muslim or Sikh or Buddhist, and those who claim no faith at all, we are all your beloved. We are all kin, created in your divine image. And too often we see our differences as walls, but you do not. You have created each one of us diversely and specially, and you love us with a deep particularity. Help us to love one another in that way. Help us, O God, as we struggle with fear, with rage, with want, with insecurity. Help us to see each other as you see us. And help us to listen to one another's stories and struggles. To follow the example that you gave us when you walked here on earth. In Jesus, who was a healer and a storyteller and one who fed and one who caused good trouble. Jesus, who loved us all so much that he was executed by the government for that love. May we allow the Holy Spirit to move us with compassion, so that we can compassionately and passionately demonstrate your love, so that the broken places in our country, in our world, in our hearts can be healed and restored. We lift up to you candidate Trump and President Biden. We lift up to you the family of this young man who resorted to violence, and Lord, we know that he was wounded deeply. And we pray for all those families who are suffering now because of his action, and for his family as well. And we pray, O God, for the day when we won't lift up arms or fists or knives or hateful words to destroy what you have made. We lift up to you those whom the world sometimes forgets about. For the elderly, for these beautiful gifts that we have in our lives and their own particular needs. And we lift up to you those who are struggling now, even with the COVID virus, which for some of us seems to have gone out of our minds, but it is particularly awful for a vulnerable population. Oh Lord, we often say, God bless America. And we ask for that. And also, though, God, oh Lord Jesus Christ, oh Spirit of the living God, may America bless you. May we continue to transform into a people who walk hand in hand, united in your love. And we ask all of this in the name of the one who taught us and his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Join us in our hymn of meditation, "When Peace Like a River."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Should buffet, though trials should come, let this last assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul.
Would the ushers come forward as we receive this morning's offering?
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. All blessings flow. Praise Him all.
Loving God, we know that every good gift comes from you. Take now this offering we bring to you and may it be used for your good and the good of all your creation. Amen.
Can I have accompaniment? Am I read?
Yeah.
It's quite long.
Good morning. The scripture, I thought, is no laughing matter. It's quite relevant, actually. It's the complicated emotional backstory to the killing of John the Baptist. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, starting at verse 14. Herod the king heard about these things because the name of Jesus had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and this is why miraculous powers are at work through him. Others were saying, he's Elijah. Still others were saying, he's a prophet, like one of the ancient prophets. But when Herod heard these rumors, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised to life. He said this because Herod himself had arranged to have John arrested and put in prison because of Herodias, the wife of Herod's brother, Philip. Herod had married her, but John told Herod, it's against the law for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias had it in for John. She wanted to kill him, but she couldn't. This was because Herod respected John. He regarded him as a righteous, holy person, so he protected him. John's words greatly confused Herod, yet he enjoyed listening to him. Finally, the time was right. It was on one of Herod's birthdays when he had prepared a feast for his high-ranking officials and military officers and Galilee's leading residents. Herod's daughter, also named Herodias, came in and danced, thrilling Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the young woman, "Ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." Then he swore to her, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, even as much as half of my kingdom." She left the banquet hall and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" "John the Baptist's head," Herodias replied. Hurrying back to the ruler, she made her request. "I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a plate right this minute." Although the king was upset because of his solemn pledge and his guests, he didn't want to refuse her. So he ordered a guard to bring John's head. The guard went to the prison, cut off John's head, brought his head on a plate, and gave it to the young woman, and she gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard what had happened, they came and took his dead body and laid it in a tomb. The reading of the word.
Thank you. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, many of you know I'm the children's librarian, one of them up at the Shaler Library, and I spend a good portion of my day, all my days, reading books to children. And we have all kinds of different age groups. We have book babies, birth to 18 months. We have story time for 2.5 to 3.5 in preschool. And then I go out and I read in the schools. And the same thing, of course you know this, the same thing that you read to a 2.5-year-old is not going to be the same book that you're going to read to a 5-year-old, that you're going to read to the first graders when you go. And even among the different schools, I notice, you get to know the kids, and you know what you can get away with at certain schools, and you know what you need to stick to at other schools. For example, Marzoff School, last year, those kindergartners, they had very wry senses of humor, and you know, you could see them raise one eyebrow when I would say different things, and so I would choose different books for them and read in a different way than when I would go to Scott School, right? So there's a book, it's called Eat Pete. I highly recommend it, and it's about a monster, a little boy who is playing in his room, and a monster is out in the tree, and he sees Pete playing, and the boy looks up and says, "Oh, hey, do you want to play blocks with me?" And then the narrator says, "The monster did not want to play blocks." Turn the page. The monster wanted to eat Pete. And you can see his face. And if you don't mind, I'll just come around and I'll show you a little bit. I think it's fabulous.
So here's Pete, and the monster really wants to eat Pete. But the monster decides he's never played blocks before, so he gives it a try. He says, "Okay." So then later, he says, "Oh, this was so much fun. This was great." And Pete says, "Do you want to play cars?" Oh, and the monster did not want to play cars. The monster wanted to eat. Now he really wants to eat, right? But he's never played cars before, so he plays cars. They have a great time. Then he says, "Hey,
the happy endings. Well, I don't know about you, but I need the happy endings. I read a lot of books. I don't like all the books that I read, but you have to read some and others. But when I read for pleasure, I want a book with a happy ending. And if you are like me, when you're reading for pleasure and you want that, I want to tell you about a website called doesthedogdie.com. It has saved my life. There are 30,000 titles of movies and books in there, and you can find out if the dog dies. Don't ever read Stone Fox. The dog dies 100 yards from the finish line in a dog sled race. I'm sorry if I ruined it for you, but I just need to tell you that. So the other thing is, though, being a librarian, we get some parents, not very many. The media really plays up the ones, and we have been lucky because I know many schools and libraries face great challenges. But from time to time, there have been people who have come in and said that they don't want certain books in the library because of the violence and because of the mature content. And instead, and a few have said this, they would like to see the Bible in schools. And I wonder about that. I wonder then if they've ever really read the Bible, because if you read the Bible, you find that even our heroes in the Bible, King David and Moses, they do very horrible things. Very horrible things. The stories in the Bible don't always have happy endings. Now, today's story is one of those. This is the lectionary. I always follow the lectionary because it keeps me honest so that I preach what hopefully God has the word for me, not just what I want to preach. But today's lectionary reading is that story of the beheading of John the Baptist. And I love the way that you introduced that scripture. Thank you so much. It is a complicated story. Jesus isn't mentioned at all except right at the beginning. Jesus' reputation is going around and people are wondering, and Herod wants to know who is this? Who are they saying this man is? And he says, some people say that he is John the Baptist come back to life. Some people say Elijah, some people say the prophets. And Herod says, no, it's not the prophets, it's not Elijah. I know who this is. This is John the Baptist come to get me. Because he knew that he had been the one responsible for John the Baptist's death. And it's a flashback story. He remembers that because he was powerful and because he was a ruler, he was able to take his brother's wife. And John, we know, came to make straight the way of the Lord, and John wasn't having it. And he went to him and he said, you cannot do that. And so Herodias, she held a grudge. And she wanted John dead. But Herod decided to imprison him, and he would not kill him because Herod knew that there was something about this man. He would go down in the palace and he would listen to John, and he wouldn't have him killed because he knew that there was something good and righteous about him. Well, Herod has a birthday party. He's invited all the very high officials in the government, because Herod, even though this translation calls him a king, he actually wasn't a king. Historians and other translations have pointed out that he was a tetrarch, which means that he had one very small part, Galilee, and a little bit around there. And he definitely could be in charge of that area, but the buck didn't stop with him. He had to keep the Roman Empire and those rulers happy, and he had to keep the people generally happy too. And the other thing is that this Herod, his dad, who was the one who tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, he didn't even pick Herod as his first choice. This Herod didn't get to be the tetrarch until after his two other brothers had died. So Herod's already a little weak and a little worried and a little insecure, so he throws this big birthday party with all of the important people, and he says to his daughter, come out and dance for us, come on out. And I wonder what she must be thinking. You know how sometimes if you have a kid or a grandkid and you think, oh, you played that so well in the concert, play for us, play for us. But the daughter comes out, the little girl comes out, and she dances, and she does a wonderful job. And Herod, he's probably a little bit drunk, and he says, oh, that was wonderful, honey. I will give you anything you want, as much as half my kingdom. What can I give you? But what does a little girl ask for before Disney World is around? I don't know. She doesn't know what to ask for. She goes to her mom and says, what should I ask for, Mommy? And Herodias sees her chance. And she says, you tell your dad to give you John the Baptist's head on a plate. And Mark doesn't tell us, but we wonder how the girl must have felt about that. We won't know, but we know that it is never right to bring little children into our evil deeds. So Herod, because he has made this bold promise and because he has invited everybody who's in power over, and he doesn't want to lose face, even though he likes John, he knows it's wrong, he gives in. And he orders the guards to behead John. And the leftover from this banquet of death is beloved John the Baptist's head on a plate. Now, there are Sundays like this one that make me wish I'd picked one of the other options from the lectionary. read the gospel, there are many churches, if you're up at St. Barney's today, after the gospel is read, the lector or the priest will say, and we thank God for the good news of God's word, because gospel means good news. But after a passage such as this, where is the good news? Well, the honest truth is there is no good news in this story. For the good news, you have to keep on reading. We read to Mark chapter 6, verse 29. But if you go to Mark chapter 6, verse 30, which actually the lectionary skips over because they just want to punish us, I guess. But what begins is the story of another banquet. And Mark put that banquet there for a reason, right after this one. Because that other banquet that begins in Mark 6:30 is the feeding of the 5,000. And it's there for a reason. And we know that story very well. Jesus and the disciples are exhausted. Jesus needs a break. He goes to a place away, but he sees all of these people, a ragtag bunch of regular people who are searching for him. And the scripture says he has compassion on them, and he starts to teach anyway. It's getting late, and the disciples come up to him and they say, we got to send these guys out because they're going to have to go home and eat. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. That's ridiculous. We don't have enough money to feed all these people. See what you have. They bring back to Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish. And after everyone has been fed, there are 12 baskets left over. Now, compare and contrast these two banquets. Herod, passed over, sort of powerful, hugely power-hungry ruler, knowingly does what he knows is wrong. He has a man he even admired killed just to save face. He gives in to pride. He wants to hold on to his little piece of a kingdom. Herod, trying to impress the powerful, signs the death warrant of John the Baptist, and he drags his kid into this mess. That banquet sits alongside Jesus' banquet of lowly, confused, but seeking nobodies. Herod's guests are the movers and the shakers. Jesus' guests come from all walks of life. Herod, motivated by fear and pride and greed. Jesus, motivated by compassion. Herod gives out punishment. Jesus gives out nourishment. Jesus' banquet offers generative love and sustenance. And the good news is that we often think that Jesus came to earth to change God's mind about us. That's not true. God has created us and loved us from the beginning. Jesus came to earth so that we could get a fuller picture of what God is like. Because we have a God who invites all to the feast. We have a God who does not give punishment, but compassion and mercy and nourishment for all. So much abundant life that there is leftovers. The good news is that we get to choose what kind of banquets we're going to offer. Are we going to be caught up in fear? I know I am sometimes, and make choices that lead to exclusion and death? Or are we going to give banquets like the one Jesus provided? One that shares the love of God with all. And the good news is also found in the sure and certain truth that God's loving banquet is open to all of us. Pastor Shirley Caesar, I love her music. I love her. And she has one phrase that I quote to myself all the time, is that nobody comes in contact with Jesus and ever remains the same. Because Jesus shows us how beloved we are. We don't need to look up the ending of this story of our lives on the website, Does the Dog Die? Because the truth is, and at first I wrote, you know, at first I wrote, the truth is we know how the story ends. But then I realized, no, God's story never ends. Love never ends. God's story is constantly moving and growing, even in the face of all of the tragedy, of all of the greed and the violence and the awful things we can get up to as humans. God's story of love continues happily with reconciliation and love for all. Please pray with me. Loving God, thank you for the privilege of standing here together with your people. Thank you, O God, for the love that is so palpable in this place and in the world. And help us, O God, to share that nourishment, that sustenance with all those that we will meet today. Until indeed, like we pray, your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing our final hymn, Hallelujah, Your Love is Amazing. And may I say, Miss Kimberly, your playing is amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
What happened to Pete?
Oh, Pete. Oh, you know what? It's great. I know. Just so you know, Pete. Then he goes around and he tries to play with all the stuff by himself, you know, build blocks and all that. And so he spits them back up. But it's great how it ends, though, because it does have a lesson. Because right away, Pete just doesn't blah, 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 I love you, whatever. He says, that was wrong. And Pete says, and the monster says, I'm sorry. And he says, do you want to play Cars? And the monster says, and then says, the monster didn't want to play Cars. And all the kids are like, oh no, let's see him again. But it says he wanted to hug Pete.
Aww.
Yeah. So it's very sweet. Thank you for asking that. Yeah. I didn't want to leave you hanging. Right, right.
That's awesome.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me.
may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.